Hello, fellow travelers, and welcome to Adventures in Security, Episode 3 for December 4th, 2005. I'm your host, Tom Olzak. This is a weekly podcast published each Sunday evening, sometime before midnight. You can also find most of the information covered in our episodes at adventuresinsecurity.com. If you're interested in commenting on what you hear, or about topics you'd like us to talk about, please send email to tom@adventuresinsecurity.com. The purpose of these podcasts is the exploration of security management, including the crazy things people try to do to each other and to themselves. Tonight we're going to take a look at the final two topics in our three-part series on end-user device security, and those are wireless handheld devices and wireless network access. I thought we'd do something a little different during this episode, or starting this episode. I'd like to comment a little bit on some of the things that are going on in the security world at this point. One of the things that I took a look at today was the SANS Top 20. The SANS.org is a great place for white papers. It's a great place to go and learn about securing your environment. And since 2000, SANS.org has also published something called the Top 20. The Top 20 is a list of the most critical internet security vulnerabilities. In the past, it's just listed 10 Windows vulnerabilities and 10 Unix vulnerabilities. Well, the 2005 list is a little bit different. It includes applications as well. The reason for this is because there's a new focus on applications and network devices by hackers. Network devices, we mean routers and firewalls and other types of network connectivity devices. Attackers are moving to applications now that IS teams are getting better at patching and hardening server and workstation operating systems. There's all kinds of ways to patch your operating system today, but to patch the hundreds or thousands of applications that may be in your environment, your patching and secure configuration efforts may grow exponentially. I'd like to talk a little bit about the Sony BMG fiasco. I'm not going to go into detail and rehash old news. And for those of you who have been on a desert island for the last 2 weeks, Sony BMG Music decided to protect a good number of its music CDs by loading an application that uses rootkit technology onto computers of unsuspecting users. For those of you who are new to hacking technology, rootkits are applications that are put onto systems that actually start to intercept or take the place of certain parts of your operating system. They're unknown to you, you can't see them, and they do things to your system without you ever knowing about it. Well, Sony BMG decided that they were going to put an application like that on people's laptops and PCs, desktop computers, if they put one of these protected music CDs into a CD-ROM drive. And they've been doing this for several months. It was announced that this was going on, and within 2 to 3 weeks, exploits were in the wild to take advantage of the vulnerabilities that were introduced by this application. You know, the thing that I'd like to talk about is, you know, the possible long-term effect of this event. You know, most users don't understand the risks, and most organizations don't lock workstations down enough to prevent installation of this type of an application. This results in potentially thousands of workstations that are infected by this rootkit and will continue to be so for the foreseeable future. So what's the impact on Sony? What's going to prevent them from doing something like this again in the future, or some other music distributor from doing the same thing? Doesn't look like music aficionados care about this at all. I mean, if you didn't put a CD into your computer, you just played it on your stereo, this has no effect on you whatsoever. Sony still isn't convinced that it's wrong to install digital rights management software on your machine without your consent. You know, I hate the general state of litigation in the United States, but maybe this is a perfect example of how to make certain organizations realize the error of their ways. According to an article in Network World on another topic, security spending is going to continue to grow while other IT budget categories will most likely see a drop. In my opinion, this is only fair, since most organizations ignored security for years. All you investors out there should definitely sleep better at night. And finally, I'd like to talk about an unpatched Internet Explorer vulnerability. Attackers are taking advantage of this vulnerability to download a Trojan onto users' machines when they visit certain websites. The Trojan then allows attackers to take control of the systems. Again, there is no patch for this, although Microsoft says it is working on it. It's recommended that you protect yourself from this vulnerability by installing and running a personal firewall on your workstations. Microsoft also has a virus removal tool that you can download from their website that has been updated to scan your system, identify this particular malware, and remove it. Okay, let's get going with our last two topics for our end-user device security series. They are wireless handheld device security and wireless network access to your network. And we're going to start out with wireless handheld device security. The world of business communication is changing, and more employees are carrying electronic information and wireless handheld devices than ever before. These devices, for the purpose of our conversation in this episode, include smartphones and wireless PDAs. According to Gartner, it's predicted that over four-fifths of mobile knowledge workers will have the opportunity to use wireless email by 2008, and smartphones may outnumber PDAs as electronic organizers by the end of 2006. Well, in my opinion, we're running way ahead of that schedule. This change in the way employees interface with company information presents some special challenges for security managers. The purpose of this episode is to help identify some of those challenges and to provide recommendations for reducing the associated risk to your business. When an employee connects to your network with a handheld device, your security may be bypassed. Data can be moved in and out of your network without management's knowledge or control, like opening the front door and not watching for people coming and going. The data that can be found in wireless handheld devices include passwords and user IDs used to access corporate resources, in-process project information, calendar items, work contacts, which make great fodder for social engineering attacks, electronic protected health information, or EPHI as defined in the HIPAA, price lists, employee information, email, and company credit card information. Outside of wireless, the two greatest threats associated with the use of wireless handheld devices are loss of the device or malware attack. The loss of a handheld device containing sensitive information is a very real threat. A recent survey by PointSec Mobile Technologies shows that over a six-month period, over 21,000 PDA and pocket PCs and almost 86,000 mobile phones were left in the back of cabs in Chicago alone. This doesn't include devices left at airports and restaurants stolen and lost in other ways. But this shouldn't be a problem since your company's handheld devices are protected. Right. During a recent training session, I asked the attendees to raise their hand if they used a wireless handheld device at the office. About 15 hands went up. I then asked how many configured their device to require a password to gain access. About 3 people raised their hands. I then asked how many displayed their name, address, and phone number on the device so it could be easily returned to their organization. Well, no hands went up. Given the information that can be stored on a handheld device, the fact that password policies with associated enforcement through automated business rules usually do not exist is a real problem. Even if the person finding a lost device is ethical and honest, he won't be able to return the device since no contact information is provided. This set of circumstances may result in the compromise of sensitive company information, the compromise of regulated information such as EPHI, the unauthorized use of company information resources through the use of compromised usernames and passwords, and the loss of productivity due to the loss of information that was available only on the handheld device. Again, the second greatest threat is a malware attack. Prior to 2004, smartphones and wireless PDAs were not a preferred target of malware developers. However, this is changing with the increasing number of wireless devices used worldwide. Current attacks are primarily focused on two OSs, Symbian and Windows Mobile. Since June 2004, there have been several attacks released into the wild targeting these OSs. Although most attacks to date have not been malicious, malware attacks may result in the loss of productivity, exploitation of software vulnerabilities to gain access to resources and data, destruction of information on a subscriber identity module or a SIM card that contains name, number, and other information about the user, and hijacking of airtime resulting in increased costs. Risks associated with wireless handheld devices will continue to increase. So let's talk about how the layered security model can be used to protect those devices. Again, your security program should manage the risk caused by wireless handheld devices with a layered approach. Now, we're not going to go through the entire layered model. We've done that in episodes 1 and 2. What we are going to do, however, is look at a couple of the layers that are either new for the handheld device layered security model or layers that are significantly different. The first layer is carrier security, and this is an additional layer that we did not talk about with desktop systems, servers, etc. If the wireless carrier you use for company handheld device communication is short on security practices, it'll make your job much more difficult. Ensure the carrier you use has a well-defined and operational security program that keeps the handheld operating system up to date in order to take advantage of improved security technology such as firewalls, code signing, intrusion prevention, and encryption. It also should secure information in the carrier's data stores. It should filter unwanted activity, including known and unknown activity, and it should provide strong end-to-end encryption. When you interface your network with that of a wireless carrier, make sure the carrier is as concerned about the security of your information as you are. User awareness also takes on a little bit different character in the layered model for handheld devices. Unless users are fully engaged in the company's security efforts, they can be an organization's greatest vulnerability. Awareness training and related activities is the best way to obtain end-user participation in a security program. Training for handheld devices should include a review of policies, the importance of password protection, how to deal with social engineering attacks, the proper protection of devices, including locking the device when finished, preventing the use of systems by unauthorized users, elimination of potential shoulder surfing opportunities, and protecting devices from loss or theft. It should also include ensuring the information on a handheld device is absolutely necessary, ensuring the information on these devices is also stored on the company network where it's regularly backed up, and how to encrypt sensitive information. Enhancing user awareness should begin with a new hire orientation program. Existing employees should receive the same training at least annually. In addition to formal training, daily reminders should be everywhere in the workplace. Posters and login messages are two good vehicles for reminder distribution. Finally, managers must take every opportunity to remind their employees of the importance of securing, both physically and through configuration, their handheld devices. This brings us to the next layer that is quite different than other end-user devices, and that's device configuration. Training users to protect information on handheld devices is very important. However, companies must assist in this effort by locking down these devices through the use of centrally managed device policies. Device policies should be set in a system at the corporate office and automatically distributed and enforced. Policies managed in this way can include anything from forcing the use of passwords to controlling whether a device can connect at all. Policies you should strongly consider include the following. Number 1, force the use of a password to access the device. I know of at least one organization where they don't believe that there's any risk to not password protecting a PDA, even though someone who would get a hold of it would have complete access to the individual's email, would have access to passwords and other sensitive company information. Don't put yourself in that position. Number 2, force the user to enter contact information so the device can be returned to your organization. In some systems, you can force that down to the handheld device. The user has no choice. If they do try to get rid of it, the next time that the device is refreshed from the central server, the information will be replaced. Number 3, ensure that all devices require end-user authentication. Number 4, shut down any service not required for proper operation, including Bluetooth capabilities. Most of the exploits that have been released into the wild use Bluetooth to transmit viruses from one device to another. Bluetooth is a good technology, but it should be controlled. So make sure that if you don't have good controls on it, that you shut it down. Number 5, control device configurations through the use of standard system settings that are locked to prevent modification. Number 6, the security features included in the operating system to restrict access to information, including encryption, should be used. Number 7, erase all data on a handheld device when certain conditions are met. For example, if someone tries to log in unsuccessfully to a handheld device, the device should be completely wiped. This isn't a real problem for a regular user because once the account is reset, the information that was on the system in most cases can be returned to that system rather easily. What it does do, however, is prevent anyone who's not supposed to get into a system from repeatedly trying to crack the password. If they do happen to get through the password protection, it really won't matter because there won't be anything for them to see. Now let's move to our last topic, wireless network access. Unauthorized access to your company's network via wireless access points can be a rather big vulnerability. We're going to take a look at two controls to help you prevent both remote access and wireless intruders. These are the IEEE 802.1X standard and the Remote Authentication Dial-In User Service, or RADIUS. 802.1X is a standard protocol that controls who and what can connect to your network. When an end-user device wants to connect to your network, it communicates with a portal device that serves as a RADIUS client. The RADIUS client blocks the device from connecting to your network and instead requests information with which it can authenticate the device or user. Once the user enters the required information, the RADIUS client sends the information along with an authentication request to a RADIUS server. The RADIUS server uses the network security database, Active Directory in the case of a Windows environment, to authenticate the user ID and password. If the authentication is successful, the RADIUS client opens the logical door to the network, allowing the end user device to connect and the user to access authorized resources. The 802.1X and RADIUS solution is effective for both remote access and wireless access control. In a wireless network, the RADIUS client is typically the wireless access point. This process is a good way to keep unauthorized users off the network. But what about those drive-by hackers sitting in your parking lot capturing your sensitive data as it's transmitted from the end user device to the access point? There's two ways to deal with this problem. The first method is encrypting the data as it moves back and forth between the end user device and the access point. The data is encrypted only between the access point and the end user device. The two most commonly used wireless encryption standards are the Wired Equivalency Protocol, or WEP, and WPA. WEP is the original wireless encryption algorithm, and it's supported in both static mode and dynamic mode. In static mode, the key used by the access point and the end user device doesn't change. This presents a big opportunity for the hacker in your parking lot. Using any one of a number of free tools downloaded from the internet, he can crack the encryption and obtain your WEP key in less than 20 minutes. One of the reasons for the low work factor is a weakness in the WEP encryption algorithm. In a dynamic WEP implementation, you can set the access point to automatically change the key on a regular cycle. By making the cycle time short enough, you can increase the hacker's work factor to the point where he packs up and moves to the parking lot down the street. WPA doesn't suffer from the weaknesses of WEP. It ships with newer access points. If it's supported by your access points and your end-user devices, I recommend using it. The second solution for wireless eavesdropping is the Virtual Private Network, or VPN. An encrypted VPN tunnel is built between the wireless end-user device and a device on the internal network. In most cases, the VPN termination point inside your network will be a router, a firewall, or a VPN concentrator. A VPN concentrator is a device that is designed specifically to help build VPN tunnels. The big difference between access point encryption and a VPN is the portion of the data path over which the data is encrypted. and a VPN, the data is encrypted between the end user device and an internal VPN termination point. This is a good solution for highly sensitive data, or if you're unable to implement something stronger than static WEP. Another issue associated with wireless networks is the possible presence of rogue access points. A rogue access point is a device installed in your network without your knowledge or consent. One of your employees may install an access point to facilitate wireless in a lab or conference room. If the access point conforms to your security policies, including encryption, this might not be so bad. But most rogue access points are simply plugged into an available network jack with no protection at all, creating a gaping hole in your wireless perimeter. A worst scenario involves the intruder who surreptitiously enters your building, locates an unused but active network jack, and plugs in her own access point. If she hides the access point well, you may never know your perimeter has been compromised. There are two solutions to these challenges. First, ensure that all unused network jacks are either disconnected from the network or are connected to an unused subnet. Second, purchase and implement a software solution that identifies the presence of rogue access points. Make sure your employees understand your policies pertaining to access points and the consequences of not adhering to them. The final consideration for minimizing wireless access threats is to make an attempt to hide from the outside world the presence of your wireless network. This can be done in two ways. The first method is to turn off the broadcast of your wireless network service set identifier, known as an SSID. Each wireless network has an assigned SSID. If an intruder doesn't know it, it's difficult for him to connect. The second method is to turn down the power on your access point radios. Only use the amount of power necessary to cover your building. Also, place your access points to minimize total broadcast area extending beyond your facility's walls. For example, setting it in a window maximizes to the extent to which an access point can communicate outside the building. You're truly helping out anybody who's trying to hack into your wireless network. Well, that's it for our end user device security series. I hope we were able to help. And we'll be back next week with more adventures in security. Until then, be careful what you click.